Your business is our business on AM 770 KTTH.
And back to continue our conversation with Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. And Pat, let's pick it up where we left off in our last segment. Government shutdown, regardless of the length, has an impact, and specifically on the real estate market. I don't think most people realize how direct an impact this has on not only the origination of loans, but actually funding these loans. And with so many people utilizing government financing now to buy a home, major impact here.
Well, there's two areas, Brian. There's two areas that I think it will directly and immediately impact. And I would put it like this: the result of a government shutdown is a freeze in the pipeline, for lack of a better term. And that occurs for two reasons. One, as a result of the meltdown, 2009, or actually 2007 to 2013 in the mortgage market. There is a high degree of reliance on data verification. Virtually no lender will process a loan without being able to prove that the Social Security number is correct and check the taxes with the IRS. And so what you have here is a situation where you can't do any data verification because the government resources are shut down. The other thing that's happening is why FHA isn't completely off the board. It is ground to almost a halt, and FHA is a big player in the mortgage market. So, last month, I think the average loan was open around 41 days from the time the application was submitted and to the time the transaction closed. I can see that extending out to 55, 60 days. And one of the things that happens is you extend the life of a loan before it closes, the percentage that closed drops. And people get impatient. People are now subject to interest rate risk because their loan can't be processed. So there's a lot of potential problems with this that hit people again right where they live. And then again, one final comment: housing is directly dependent on consumer confidence. We cannot quantify the impact of a government shutdown on consumer confidence, but I feel pretty confident telling you that it is not positive.
And of late, the Federal Reserve. Last time we talked, you were en route back to the Northwest. Quick conversation by phone, they had decided not to taper. So here's our bonus question now as we move into Q4. Obviously now, as a result of this, I cannot imagine, I hope, the Federal Reserve changing their stance on that at the end of the year. They're going to have to kick that can down the road, I would think.
Well, who knows, but I hope you're right. And I hope you're right because I think we've just had a hiccup in the recovery. And even though it was slow, it was ponderous, and for lack of a better term, we were gradually recovering. And you and I have talked about this many times on the show. It is a long, prolonged process. You get rid of debt, you re-engineer the housing market, you do a lot of things, but we were making gradual, steady progress in the economic recovery. Still a couple of years out probably from normality, but we were getting there, and we were seeing consumer confidence recovering, albeit up and down a little bit month to month, but general trend was going the right way. I think this government shutdown and the proposed issues or the proposed problem with raising the debt limit, that threw a curve in all of it.
Patrick Stone from Williston Financial Group, WFG National Title, joining us here on Business Briefing. Pat, I think in 50 years there might be a monument in Washington, D.C. for Ben Bernanke. Okay, this guy's a hero. I think we both agree on that. Why in the world is there a change in play at the Fed right now? What's behind that? Because Bernanke really has done, a great job considering the circumstances, and yet there's a change coming. Warren Buffett comes out and says, why don't we just stick with the guy who's done a great job? What's going on here? Why is this happening?
That's a really, really good question, Brian. I wish I could give you and your listeners a coherent answer. I don't know. I suspect that Bernanke is probably too closely identified with a very difficult period. And politically, that would prove to be a fallback argument that we'd hear over and over again. I agree with you. I think Ben Bernanke's done a phenomenal job. I also suspect Ben Bernanke's tired. I don't know how you do what he did for as long as he's done it, as well as he's done it. So bless him, and he certainly has earned the right to ride off into the sunset. But I think we think Janis Yellen will be the replacement. She echoes many of Ben Bernanke's finer traits. You know, we'll see how it plays out.
It'll be interesting to see. Okay, back on point now. I want to talk about the real estate market specifically. We'll get to some specifics in the region here. But we're hearing more and more, not only as a result of the government shutdown, but that as of January next year, it'll become even more difficult to obtain a mortgage. You had mentioned, I think, on a previous show, the average FICO credit score is right around 740 right now, which is pretty amazing. What is it, or why is it, that things will become even more difficult than they currently are come January?
You know, I'm not sure that they will, Brian. I think that some of that perception rides on the fact that you'll start seeing implementation of CFPB. And I think a lot of it comes from concern over QM and QRM, you know, qualified mortgage, qualified residential mortgage. I believe the proposals that are now being considered for final enactment are bearable. You know, the I forget the exact percentage, but about 95% of all loans that are currently be approved will be approved under the new terms. I actually think, and I'm betting my own money on this, that the market will improve after next year because there'll be certitude about the regulatory environment. A lot of lenders have maintained very restrictive underwriting standards because of concern over the regulatory environment. And just to give your listeners some perspective, you go back to 1980, the bulk of mortgages in this country were actually bought by thrifts. You know, the emergence of the GSEs and the government really occurred when the thrifts went out of the business. The percentage of mortgages done by banks and held by banks is up only slightly from 1980. Banks do not want to hold mortgages. QRM says, okay, if you're going to sell a mortgage that doesn't qualify, you have to hold a certain percentage. But the qualifying level is going to be such that the bulk of them, I mean, 97% of them will still qualify as they're currently being generated. So, being a little long-winded here, but my gut is it will actually see a slight easing of the mortgage market once the rules are finalized and enacted and the lenders understand the play. Now, it'll become even better if you have an emergence of a private securitization market to help augment what the government buys. I think that will occur with the certitude around a regulatory environment because then people can plan for it. You get data verification. A Wall Street firm that wants to securitize mortgages knows the mortgages are being created in a compliant manner. And I think that will significantly ease the mortgage market. That's probably a year and a half to 2 years out before it's meaningful. But I think starting in January, my gut is it'll be even a little bit easier than it is now.
That's good to hear. I mean, that's actually the first time I've heard anybody put a positive spin on things, but that'll be good to see. Now, I noticed in the Wall Street Journal about a week ago, a Fed report showed household wealth rising by $1.3 trillion in Q2, now stands about $75 trillion overall. Adjusted for inflation, net worth about 4% below its peak. So households have made back 80% of what was lost in the bust. Now, that said, still have millions of people unemployed. As you mentioned earlier, consumer confidence with the shutdown now waning a little bit. There seems to be a disconnect here. I mean, a lot of people have gained their wealth back, but there are still millions of people out there across the country that are still feeling this as it's a recession, even though technically it's not.
Well, Brian, this goes back to something you and I have talked about for a long time, and that is that this economic recovery is going to be ponderous, to say the least, and that's because of the tremendous amount of debt that our society has taken on. And we've talked about, you know, it got as high as $52 trillion. It's probably about $50 trillion credit market debt right now. You couple that with a slowdown in the world. You couple that with the tremendous excess capacity around the world for production and the tremendous excess labor force around the world that holds wages down. And pricing, you know, on a positive level, I guess price increases down. But so you have a situation where anybody that does not have assets has not participated in the increase in household wealth. The numbers you're looking at are a direct result of the Fed stimulating through QE and through low rates so that stocks and real estate have gone up in value. Now, you say, okay, well, that's unfair because that only impacts people that have it. The hope here is that you get something going. These people then have assets. They have money to spend, and that stimulates the economy. We were in a very big hole. You know, it is amazing to me that we've recovered as well as we have, but it is a long, slow process.
Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. When we come back, more business briefing across the Great Northwest.